Position number 22087, wheel 11.
Corporal Weldon, reel 11.
Oh, Alan, Moniwer, MacTiller, Tongo. We're at Tongo, do you say now?
I think you said you went towards Tongo and you had a break on the route.
Eventually went on leave to Calcutta for 14 days from Tongo.
What? No,
on the 30th of June.
The last thing you said was that you'd gone into a defensive box at some stage for overnight.
That's right, yeah.
How was the defensive box laid out?
It was fortified position, you know, like there was trenches and machine gun positions, and there was a army unit there all the time. So as the drivers, they could harbour up there at night time and go to sleep without any fear of having to do any guards.
So you didn't have to?
We didn't have to do guard in a box, because I don't know whether there would be Gurkhas or Indian troops, you know. Whoever was pulled back from the front line for arrest would be looking after this box. And then you couldn't go out the box in the morning until they'd been down the road with the armoured cars and what have you to make sure the road was clear and there was no mines, you know. So that's how the situation was.
What sort of arrangements did they have for you in the box? Did you sleep in the cab of the vehicle?
I had to help yourself underneath the lorry or in the back of wherever you could, you know. You were that tired, you just fall asleep at the wheel anyway.
Were there any incidents during that night in the box that you knew about?
No, we had a quiet night.
So what happened then after that night in the box near Tongo? Did you go on?
They moseyed on until I know I'm getting a bit muddled here, but that was on the way to MacTiller, was this box stop. And the reason being that we'd had a lorry catch fire and blow up in front of us, it held us back, you see. And everybody had to be off the road and in the box by dusk, you know. And with the hold up, we were travelling in the dark, and I'd picked up the men off the lorry as many as I could. I still left some behind with a water and rations in a tent, you know, as they can't take anybody else. And we moseyed on till, as I say, we got into this box.
How many men did you manage to get in the truck?
In the truck, it would be six, two corporals and six men. And then there'd be the others off the lorry.
Yes.
They would be in as well. So I know it was ram full.
What was the situation like when you got to Tongo?
Oh, it was as usual, you know, the same. The aircraft were very busy. There was the Hurricane fighter bombers, you know. And the army was calling them up to do bombing and strafing. And that's how the campaign had got leapfrogged all the way down like that, you know. And then we could see from the airstrips, we could watch our own aircraft bombing and strafing. And eventually the army and everything would move further away. When they were tight up to us, we got a rum ration. And then as they moved away, I don't know who told them, but as soon as it got be so many miles, the rum ration stopped.
What did you have to do at Tongo? What was your duty there?
My duty was still driving and, you know, and guards and what have you, patrols, airfield patrol.
Did you see anything of the enemy at Tongo?
No, we heard them, we didn't see them. But they were rare. We were very fortunate in as much that There was the Gurkhas was always brought back out of the line for a rest, and they always used to be on our perimeter. Did the Gurkhas, and we stood to it every night. You stood to at 7 o'clock time, you know, with your Bren guns and what have you. And Johnny Gurkha would come by and he'd say, "Okay, Sab, you asleep, cush near Japan." That meant you can sleep because there won't be any Japs past me, you know. And as it happened, never ever did any Japs get past them Gurkhas, ever. You'd see fairy lights going up and all sorts of things, but nobody got near us. Johnny Gurkha had them first, you see.
Did you feel happy to go to sleep if you got the Gurkhas?
Oh, yeah, you could, you know, they're really top class. They were, you know, very, very good soldiers, you know. And you never saw a miserable one, ever. Didn't matter how bad conditions were, Johnny Gurkha always had a big smile on his face, you know. And he'd offer you a chapati and, you know, a bit of curry. Sab, chapati, man, you know. Really, really friendly men they were, you know. But they didn't speak English like they do today, not then. It was Gurkhali and Erdu. And we didn't speak any of anything, you know. But we used to get by.
Was there anything that you could offer them that they really enjoyed?
I'd give them a cigarette, you know. And then when you offered a Gurkha a cigarette, he gave him the packet, and he would open the packet and take one out and give you the packet back. I don't know why, but that was the way it went.
You were saying you went back from Tonga on leave. What was there to do if you were on leave in Calcutta?
No, so it's plenty of picture houses and plenty of cafes, and you know, it was. For 1 and 6 pence, you can get a good meal, you know. Mind you, I'll pay one to all that heavy, like, but, there was. What did we do? Mainly, we enjoyed the lighthouse pictures in Calcutta. It was an air conditioned cinema. It was a. And the atmosphere, when you went in, you were shivering, you know. And within a quarter of an hour, he was real comfy. And then when he come out, it was like going into an oven when he come out the doors, you know. We used to get tanked up on the rum. We would have light rum. And we'd have the four of us. I've just lost one of my mates. This is a couple of months back he died, poor old George. He was with us on that. There was four out the squadron was qualified to go from Tonga to Calcutta for this 14 days leave, because we had actually been out there for 3 years and hadn't had any leave. It's unbelievable, but it's true. And as I say, we used to get well oiled on this rum, and we used to drink rum and lime. Well, never drink it here. I didn't realise that. I come back and it was in the marketplace with my dad, and I says, "Oh, I know, I'll have a rum." And didn't have to give us diarrhoea. Ooh, and that's in England, you know. But out there, no, it was all right.
Was that fresh lime juice that you had in it?
Yes, it was fresh. Might be fresh, because there was all the time we was at the front, there was one thing everybody was on about. God, I'd love to get down into Calcutta and have a Koh Ming, that was a Chinese restaurant, special lime. Ice lime, and it was beautiful, you know, the real. And everybody, for a Koh Ming lime, you know.
Yeah. Where did you stay when you were in Calcutta? Was there a centre for you to stay in?
Aye, there was it was a proper hotel. I've got the. It's in there, is the receipt in that bag. and the four of us stayed there. And I can't remember, I don't think it was just bed and no breakfast, if I can remember right. But we used to eat in the cafes and one thing or other. And the fortnight was up, And we went to the RTO to get a boat back to Rangoon. And when we got there, there's no boat. So we had to come out the digs, and the RTO, that's transport office in Bloke, says, what are you going to do? Do you want to go in the transit camp? Or he says, you can find your own digs, but you must report here every day at 10 o'clock to read the orders to see if there's a boat for you. Because you've got the tabs on you, you know. So, no, all right then, what are we going to do? Oh, I know, we'll try the Salvation Army. Yeah, okay then, because we was getting a bit short of cash. So we went to the Salvation Army and we all got a bed each, very nice, very clean, and no religion rammed down your throats at all. It was very, very nice, for a rupee a night, 1 and 6 months a night. It was, and from then on we used to go in and say the, if look on the board, if your name wasn't on, okay, off we go then, and you know, pictures or whatever, and we used to do some naughty things, I think.
what sort of naughty things?
Naughty thing, well, getting drunk and having a rickshaw race. We'd get to. And the devil's for gambling as the Indian, you know. And even though we weren't speaking their language, there was force. Says, hey, how about a race? And, you know. Sab. Oh, then they started betting. And all the takings. And then there was one bloke on, you know, he was old all the money. And then this Indian bloke, oh, he was my rickshaw wallet, you know. Sab, he gave us a great big laugh here. That was a big stick. He says, I want to win. You'll get, you know, it may make me. And there we was, going down Chow Ringy, far abreast, Main Street, Calcutta. And belting these Indians with his sticks. And the youngsters think, there they go, the British ill-treating the natives. And they'd actually ask us, because his day, all his money was on that race, you know. It was very important. Another time we had a race, but this, we come out of the chair, out of the lighthouse, picture house, and we was pretty happy, not really drunk. And there was the rickshaws all lined up, and they were all gabbing with the rickshaw wallers. So we picked a rickshaw too. I got in the back. My mate in the shafts. My other mate, he was in the shafts and the one in the back. And off, because we were feet away, off, outrun everybody, all down Chow Ringy, till we couldn't run anymore. And then got out of the rickshaw and into the shafts, and the bloke was buggered. Got back in, and when we got back, brought the rickshaws back to where we took them from. There was the police, and oh, there was a hell on, you know. The Sabs had pinched this rickshaws, you know. So we give them a rupee each for the use of the rickshaw, and all was forgiven, you know. But they thought we'd really pinched his rickshaw, you know. But, that was, as I say, one of the things that we did for amusement. Same as George Winters, he'd had a right skin full. And we was walking down the street, I don't know where we was, making for the hotel or what, but suddenly George disappears. Where's George? He's in that gurry, that was a horse-drawn cab thing, you know, with four-wheel thing. And he got in there, the driver didn't know he was in, there was us chasing him, pouring bricks under the wheel, up, bang, in. Eventually we got him out. Oh dear. Funny lad.
How did you get back eventually then? What?
Eventually there was a boat. And we got back, and on the boat was some reinforcements for us, you know, because while we'd been in Calcutta that 14 days, there'd been one big battle at the Sitang Bend, where the army, the Japanese army from the Arakan, was trying to cross the Sitang to get into Assam and away, you know. There was a general on a white horse, and then it was terrible. An owl lot just sat there and picked them off like sitting ducks, you know. And of course there was all them rotting corpses when we come back. And these here reinforcements just come out. What's that smell? Oh, awful, isn't it? I said, they're only dead Japs, so what are you worried about, you know? And there, of course they'd get used to it eventually, but that's what we found when we come back anyway. They'd got it all sorted out. That was another big battle I missed, you know. So, sun shone on you.
You were lucky.
Definitely, yeah.
Where did you rejoin then, and how did you get to your
I got unit? Back to my squadron, you know.
Yes, how did you get back? Was it by...
I come up, there was a line of communication transport company, whatever there was, running from Rangoon up to the units. Oh. And that's what he was, how he got up there like that, you see.
Would that be Indian Army Service Corps
it
doing that?
Could have been, because they were running that... right the way from Coima right down to Rangoon, and them blokes, you know. What you say, we'd move slowly, you gradually,
yes.
A little bit at a time, you know.
How long did it take you to get back then, altogether, do you think?
What, to get back from Calcutta?
I think
a couple of days, 3 days at the outside, it seemed so far, like across the Bay of Bengal, you know.
Where were they when you joined them?
What? The
unit.
Our gang.
Yeah.
There was, Tongo. Back at Tongo on the first of July. Oh. I didn't leave, so that I'd gone back, and then the unit was still at Tongo where I'd left them. Mm. And then on the 2nd of July, we left Tongo. I went to a place called Zyatoquin.
What was going on there?
Same setup, an airfield, and airfield defence.
And were you still basically on the driving, or were you on?
Still driving.
The same kind of airfield as you'd had at Tongu or another.
So, it wouldn't be very long after that. That's July.
Yeah.
And then we were nipping in and out of Rangoon on Liberty Runs, you know.
You'd
take a lorry load of men down into... there was a beautiful lake there where they used to go swimming, you know. They used to go swimming in the buff. Because we had no cozy, you know, right out there. Swimming about in the buff. And there was a load of nurses in a boat come rowing, and they wouldn't go away.
What condition was Rangoon in when you were...
It was terrible. It looked as though it had been derelict and left. There was all grass growing between the flagstones and all, you know, it was really rough.
Well, was there any sign of the civilian population of the city?
Yes, there was... There was them, they were knocking around like, but nothing to take any notice of, you know. There was no problems with them, you know. Mind you, we weren't looking for them, we were just out for a good time, like, and back again, you know. Roaming round the railway station and having a look and pinching all the different tickets for souvenirs, but mine's all in the museum anyway. I had, because we'd gone down the railway on the way down to Rangoon, and we followed the railway, Thazi, Yamathan, and all down there. And I thought, oh, I love Thazi, Yamathan, you know. And they're brown, you know, like we used to have. Them,
yes,
sort of railway
cardboard.
That's right, yeah. Mm. Aye. Mm. So that was another one of our hobbies.
Did you get the impression by this stage that the Japanese were finished and they were on the run, or?
Oh, we knew they were on the run from before MacTilla.
You did?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, aye. When they started to shift them out of, you know, across the Chinwin, you know. at Monywa and, you know, what was it? Oh, Kalamea and Alon and Monywa and all. Then the Yanks was in at it as well. They had their, what did they call it, airborne ACAC and different units. Of course, a lot of their Dakotas was working off our airstrip as well.
Did you have anything to do with them, with the Americans?
Oh, there was decent blokes. They liked our bully beef and we liked their chicken, and we used to swap.
Yeah.
I'll give you a 7-pound tin of, what was it, 7-pound tin of chicken, I think, for 2 tins of bully beef, you know. And their tents, they had some good tents in that. And they'd left a tent at MacTiller when I was there. And I said, oh, we'll have that. Because nobody had been near this tent for about a fortnight. So we took it down and wrapped it up and put it in our stores tent. And then the Yanks arrived back again. Hey, bud, have anybody seen a tent? I said, sure, we have. He says, where is it? I says, oh, we took it down and put it in our stores. We were going to have it, you know. He says, oh, gee, thanks, bud. And give him his tent back, and we all got a carton of Camel cigarettes each. Aye.
Where did you get off that then? Did you stay when you were doing these boats? How long were you staying in the airfields that you were defending, roughly?
That's hard to say. But this back.
What you're saying, you were spending a short, you know, short while in the airfield, then you'd have to up sticks and move forward.
That's right. Yeah. You'd think you was. We're all right, and then the next thing you know, here we are, is Marder Road, Palau, Secunderabad, Chittagong. Oh, they haven't got the dates. And you see, I wrote these down as I went through them, all these.
Yes. Just taking a note of the places.
Yeah, and the mileage, you see. From Camilla to Agatala was 80 miles. And then Agatala to Sylhet was 127. And then from Sylhet to Shillong was 87. And Nowgong, and this is on the road. We'd gone wrong when we went. And we picked up at Chittagong, the lorries and whatever, yeah. And we went to, from Chittagong, we went down to Ramu. And it should have been Tamu, which was thousands of miles away.
You told me you'd been misdirected. Entirely the wrong place.
You see? And Fenny and Camilla. 109 miles, you know. Dimmapur, Infell, Tamu, Izagio. Anyway, I don't know, we're getting a bit of a muddle here, but.
I mean, was it clear to you at the time what was happening? Did you have a good overall impression of the general drift of things when you were.
Oh, we was looking out for as long as we could find some grub and petrol and. You know, keep things going, doing as you was wanted to be done, like with the officers and that, you know. But we was aiming at and wanting was to get it over with and get back home, you know. That was in our minds, and make the best of what you've got. Because some of the times things was very, very rough. There was one time when our tents was full of shrapnel holes and the monsoon was beginning, and we was having to make a tent inside a tent, and then we had a visit from a padre, and them people, they can talk to anybody, you know, and told him all our problems, and he says, well, I think I know where there is some tents, he said, I think And you know, within 3 or 4 days, we had a new set of tents. The old padre had sourced them out. He'd seen them somewhere, you know. Mm. Right. Well, we used to have church service in the paddy fields on a Sunday morning.
Were those well attended, the church services?
Right, yeah. Mm. And he had a little old pedal organ thing, you know, for the music.
Harmonium, would it be?
Yeah.
Harmonium.
Oh. Whose padre was he? Was he attached to your particular
He was... An RAF one,
yes,
to deal with the RAF. Because the army, they had their padres as well. I mean, they were in the front line, them army padres. You see, you couldn't go and see the CO of an airfield and say, hey, look here, we want some new tents. That's not, you can't do that sort of thing, you know. You put it through the channels and maybe you might get some, but the padre could short circuit things, and that was a big help, you know. So that's that. Now then, from Zayatigan we emplaned and went on the 1st of September to Saigon.
Ah.
In Indochina.
This is after the war's over.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you were
when
the war ended, when you heard about the atomic bombs?
I would be Tongo.
You were at Tongo?
We were at Tongo because I'd been back down the line for a load of beer, which we didn't get very often. And I'd come back again and the lorry was all sheeted down. And I told the flight sergeant, this is a load of beer, don't say nothing, he says. If they don't know, nobody knows, he says, I'll be all right. So it was all sheeted down, and you'll sleep in the cab. Well, about, I don't know, in the middle of the night, there was all hell let loose. There was ACAC stuff, Bofors, there was 4.37s, then there was this army gun pit. We always had ACAC not far away from us. We was light ACAC, and they was like we had 20mm. They had, was it 40mm Bofors and on, you know. And they'd set fire to, you know, they built toilets out of bamboo and wattle and what have you. They'd set that on fire, and they were all dancing around singing, "Please don't burn our shit house down, down in the rain." Aye, and I thought, well, this is queer. I thought for a minute that there'd been a Japo, because they didn't clear all up, you know, when they went down Burma. There was a lot of stragglers left all over the place, Japanese. And you weren't sure where they were, you know. You could get a party come and start rolling grenades in the tents, and, you know, that was done, and chucking them in the backs of lorries and all such as that. Now was steps of, you know, I didn't know, oh dear me, I don't, what's happening now? Anyway, as it turned out, the war was over, and that was it. And the next day, we had to surrender all our rifle bolts, you know. They had to go in the stores. The distributors out of the, rotor arms out of the distributors, they were all removed. It was absolutely, you know, but the Japs didn't know the war was over. I mean, we was helpless, really.
Do you remember what your first thought was when you heard about the, you know, the atomic bombs?
We didn't realise, you know, that about that atomic bombs, you know.
We just heard the war was over.
The war was over, and they say the big bomb had sort of swayed the situation, you know. Mm. But that was...
Do you know why you had to hand in your rifle bolts and rotor arms?
Well, I don't know. I think the officers was getting the wind up, thinking we might turn on them, you know.
Why should they have thought that?
Well, I don't know. It seems to... That was the only thought I could think of, that, you know, that I think they're windy. They're frightened that we... you know, rebel. And
had there been any trouble between
officers? No, we had.